Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Morning, and welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtables here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, sitting in with mothers and daughters around the world. A good morning today. You know, it's I'm gonna join you. Let me see. Sometimes we have difficulty with the audio. So I'm going to join you.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please hold and you'll be able to listen to the show.
Okay. I'm going to take care of the difficulties this morning.
Good morning. Good morning, audience.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. I hear you just fine.
There we go.
I'm getting some back. I'm getting some echo.
It's taken care of.
Do you have full system on?
It's taken care of now. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. I hear you fine.
Getting all the the technology together.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't know what's wrong. I need to ask them about the system because normally it was doing fine just for the last couple weeks or so. I don't know if the it's like when you use the actual audio from a platform, it's been giving some static or some irritations there. But anyway, it's another way around it. So anyway, how are you this morning? Let's get started.
I am doing fine, Dr. Fletcher. As the audience know, we talked about it, and I've started a new job, and I'm kind of exhausted. It's been a while since I've had to, you know, go in and punch the clock for 40 hours, and it's good stuff. Not complaining. Thanking God for it, and all is well, Dr. Fletcher. And how are you this morning?
I'm fine. Thank God. I'm doing really, really good.
Good job.
Can't complain at all. God blessed me this week and took care of me and, you know, just did exactly what we prayed and asked him to do. And so I cannot complain at all, not at all.
Good job. Thank God. You know, we move in obedience, and thank God we're doing what it is he's called us to do and what he tells us to do, and we go where he tells us to go. Yeah.
And being obedient, and you wouldn't believe it, but that's the title this morning, Mothers and Daughters, Obedience is Key.
yeah, that's the Holy Spirit letting us know we're in sync, girl. That's what that is.
Obedience is key, you know.
I'm loving it.
When I got up this morning, I said, well, Holy Spirit, what do you want to talk about? And he said, obedience, and, you know, with the blessing that he blessed me with this week, with my surgery, it was basically being obedient to listen to what he told me to do and to hear and stand on the word. And so he gave me the word. And after I got the word, okay, now you got to be obedient. You got to follow the word. You know, it's serious, but it's not that serious that you would even have to fear when you know that you're being obedient, then he got you.
Amen.
That's the key. I got you. You do what I ask you to do, and then you don't have to worry because then I have you.
Amen.
So
amen.
Anyway, that was
stuff.
Good.
Good.
It was a, you know, it's a blessed week. I got up this morning. You know, the voice says, well, you know, you can take a break today. You rest in, and, you know, you could chill out. And yeah, I said, no, I'm not. Getting on the radio, and I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do because he didn't tell me not to do it. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, ma'am.
We can't just decide we're not going to do something because we don't want to do it when God has asked us to do something. You just got to go on and keep going and know that he has you. So anyway, give us a prayer this morning, Cynthia.
I definitely will, and I am so honored to be asked to do the prayer today, and I am just so grateful, Father God, for your mercies, for your goodness and mercies, not just your mercies. I left that part out for so many years, your goodness part, and Father God, I ask for forgiveness before your people, and I just say thank you, Father God, for your goodness and mercies. I you are just so worthy to be praised every day that you give us, every day that you allow us to be here, to participate in obedience. And Father God, we just thank you. We thank you for your mercies. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for continuing to watch over us. Even when we're not obedient, Father God, you still take care of us. And yes, there's consequences to be had when we are in disobedience, but even that, you give us the minimum. And so, Father God, we thank you for consequences. We thank you for obedience, for in all of that, we become more and more like Christ when we learn to follow in your foot, in his footsteps, because he was the ultimate perfect example of humanity. And you want us to walk in his footsteps with regards to the obedience to the Father. And Father God, my favorite scripture has become over the last several months, I only go where he tells us to go, where he tells me to go. I only say what you tell me to say, and I only go where you tell me to go. And I'm just so grateful, Father God, for listening ears and an unction of the Spirit that I know the voice of my Father. Thank you, Father God, for your mercies. Thank you, Father God, for Deborah, Dr. Fletcher, as we continue to do this radio show now for since 2011, and I know Dr. Fletcher was doing it prior too, and we just thank you, God, for obedience. We thank you, Father God, for you are worthy to be praised. And if you don't mind, I would say, Father God, I ask for blessings for Miss Ivy and her call today to give out book bags to our children that's going back to school. We ask that you keep your hands on our children as they get ready to go back to school because they all belong to you and they all belong to us. But Father God, it takes a village to raise a child. If we can get back to that, Father God, that we will have a better generation of children, that adults are working together in the community to raise the children in order that we have a new generation of hope, a new generation of obedience. And so, Father God, we pray for mothers around the world that we can come back together as far as being obedient to raising the children in the neighborhood and in our communities. And we just thank you for that, Father God. We thank you that something will be said today somebody's life will be blessed, and it'll be the beginning of change. And so, Father God, we bless each and every mother that's represented with the Mother and Daughter Global Movement. We pray for them and their families and all of our loved ones, one by one, name by name. You know who they are, and we just say thank you again, Father God, for your goodness and mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, that's it right there. The kids are going back to school, and we pray for the ones that don't have masks on or don't want to keep their mask on, that God just give them that invisible mask of protection. because they're children, and it's hard for adults to keep their mask on, Cynthia. So you know children are going to be irritated and trying to hold on to those masks all day, and especially the little tiny ones. And so we're just going to ask God just to give Sheila protection over the children, the instructors, and everybody that they come in contact with, so that they all be covered in Jesus' name.
Yes, in Jesus' name.
Yeah, it is something else trying to get through what we're getting through. But this too shall pass. That's the thing that we know. It shall pass. It will not stay. Nothing stays the same. But getting through it is going to take a lot of obedience to understand what the instructions are and follow the instructions. You know, a lot of times we want to go ahead and create our own instructions, and sometimes not intentionally, Cynthia. You know, just not intentionally, just get caught up in those little conversations that come into your head that you think that you're really formulating, but it's the enemy's little trickery to make you think you're talking something and that you believe in something that you created in your mind, which is not. So, therefore, we're just going to pray for guidance and protection of our minds and our conversations, and that we hear the word of the Lord. And those who are saved will hear the word of the Lord. He said that, you know, my children will hear my voice. And so we are asking you, audience, mothers and daughters out there, to seek out and seek Jesus and ask him to forgive you for your sins and accept him as your Lord and Savior. And I'm telling you, immediately you'll be born again into a whole new realm of spirituality that will give you a shield of protection, and if you keep asking that for the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you. I can't even imagine living my life without having that relationship with Jesus and Father and the Holy Spirit, because I just can't imagine it. I just can't imagine it any other way. All right.
Amen.
Thank you, Cynthia. I'm going to go ahead and talk about what the Holy Spirit wants me to share, and then I'll come back and pick you up, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Good morning again, mothers and daughters from around the world. Thank you so very much for joining us this morning. It's awesome. It's an awesome pleasure to get up this morning, especially when I look back over my week and say last Saturday, this time to this Saturday, you know, upon me, the things that he has asked me to do and to trust him. And even though I was trusting in my heart, you know, the enemy was fighting me in my mind, trying to tell me, oh, this, that, and the other. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about, and finally I just said, you know what? I trust you, God. I belong to you. I've been bought and paid for by the blood of your son. By his stripes I'm healed. And if you tell me to do it, then I know it's good. If you say, go through this door, then I know you're on the other side because you're going to walk through it with me. I know that. And so once I got to that, that became that peace that I asked the Holy Spirit. I said, Holy Spirit, just give me the peace that surpassed all understanding. I just want to, the whole situation to be like a blink of an eye. And I'm telling you, it was like a blink of an eye. Because then I got into obedience. I didn't know that was going to be the topic for the day. Had no idea until this morning. Like most of you that have followed us over the years know, I don't bother the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit during the week on Friday nights and Wednesday or Tuesday, what I'm going to talk about next Saturday, and Lord, I got to write something down, and oh my goodness, what am I going to say? I need my notes. I stopped that foolishness. We've been on the air now going on with 12 years. We'll be 13 in December. I stopped that years and years and years and years and years ago. I can't even remember to tell you. Once I decided, it's not up to me. I read in the Bible where God said, don't worry about what you're going to say. I will give it to you within an hour. Within an hour, when you get ready to speak before the court, Don't worry about what you're going to say. I will give you the words. And that's exactly what has been happening to me. I took that part of it and received it for myself. See, one thing about the Word of God, you can read it, and it may be something he spoke to John. But because we are one in Christ, every word is for every person who's received it for yourself. And say, I take that word for me. But we look sometimes and say, oh, well, that wasn't, he told John that, or he told the lame man to get up and walk, but then that wasn't talking to me. Yeah, if you lamed, then you're part of that lame man blessing. It's not going to have your name on everything or somebody else's name on it. You will get the word, ask for the word. Father God, give me a word concerning my situation. When you get the word, you stand on it. You stand on it and hold on to it, because it's going to be the word that you know 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 that you know. That's the word for you. Got my word. I didn't have a doubt in my mind. Matthew 13:16. But come, blessed are your eyes, for they see. And your ears, for they hear. Now, that was not anything that I could get confused on. In my heart, I believe it. And it was done unto me, just like he said. So all I'm saying, mothers and daughters out there, see, it's obedience. And when we start talking about obedience, we're talking about things that were said, that instructions that were given. We were given instructions. But we keep forgetting, because we get into the world and we listen to what people are saying. Man is our savior. Like, man is our creator. Man don't know nothing about you. Nothing. Your girlfriend don't know how to solve your problem. She's got her own problems. Your sister don't know how to tell you what to do. She's got her own problems. Even mothers and daughters. You can support each other, but you got your own problems. You're individuals. Each person is an individual spirit in a body that belongs to God. And some of the things that you give us are so simple. Like I say, it's hard for you to mess it up. Like Luke 11:28, he says, but, I love this thing. You know, I didn't realize God said but so much. I mean, but. I got my word, it says but. Blessed. I was like, wow. So I wanted to go back and say, what, you know, because but is conjunction. So you're thinking, what came before but? And he said, I didn't want you to read what came before but. Don't go back before but. So I never went back to see what was 15, because that wasn't for me. Follow instruction are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Now you tell me what's confusing about that. So to be obedient, if you hear God said something, and especially when you're in the Bible and you look at the red words, and you hear God saying, don't do something, and you, he knows you heard it. He knows you read it. And you do it anyway. 28 is going to work in your life. Because he said, but he said, meaning God said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. He didn't say those who don't hear the word of God and don't keep it, rather those who hear the word of God and keep it. So if you know that you're not doing what he said, then don't expect to be blessed. Don't expect to be blessed. But because he loves us so much, there's grace and mercy. He put in a safety net. He knew we were going to miss it. He knew we were going to miss it somewhere along the line.
If it was that cut and dry, we would all miss it completely. But he put in safety net. He put in grace and mercy and favor. He add those to it just to get the balance. So when we slip, because a lot of times we don't know. That's why, mothers, it's so important for you to know the word of God so that you can teach the word of God to your daughters, so that the daughter will have it in her heart and she could teach it to her daughter. And see, they'll go generation after generation after generation. You read the Bible, mother, and you read the Bible to your daughter. Let's just say you started off as a little girl and she's reading the Bible. She's going to continue to read the Bible, especially when you tell her the purpose of reading the Bible, the benefits of reading the Bible, to know that in this book, God, our Creator, is going to be a lot more smoother, less complicated than it would be if you were out there in the world without following the instructions. Yes, there's grace and mercy, but how much do you have to go through before you get the grace and mercy? See, that's the difference. You may have to go through something, but the going through won't be as painful, won't be as long, won't be as difficult, the word of the Lord. You know, it's so amazing to me. I have a great-grandson, Connor, and I know every grandmother loves their grandchildren, because Lord knows I helped raise two grandboys, and they're grown now, and even with the age that they are, I looked at them coming and hovering around me yesterday, you know, because what? I plant those seeds when they was little, keeping them every summer and spending time and talking about God with them. And I said to them, thank you for praying for me, because y'all pray for Nana, didn't you? Yeah, we prayed for you when they were little. I would ask them to pray for Nana because God will hear you. They were little babies. So I know they're praying. And now, just not too long ago, you know, I bought Connor his book when he was born, his Bible. He went through that one, and then I had to buy him another. But he would not go to bed without that Bible. Bible. But now he's got this thing, Nana, Jesus is in my heart. Care of me. Jesus protect me. And he'll just say that out of the blue. And I said, yeah, Jesus is in your heart. And Jesus will take care of you. Because my daughter said to him one day, Connor, don't do that. You mess around and fall. You might get hurt. He said, Lolly, Jesus is in my heart. Jesus protect me. So he got that thing up. And we just looked at each other like, oh, okay. Because he knows. Oh, that's not going to happen to me, because y'all already told me Jesus will protect me. Good news is, if you didn't do it then, you could start where you are right now. Because the word of God is the same yesterday, today, and will be tomorrow when we are long gone. It all is around obedience. And we know what disobedience is, because if you've ever raised a child, there has been a time, and you want to really shake them, do whatever you want to do to them, because especially when they get up to a size, when you tell them to do it, they feel like, well, I don't want to do that. And you got to talk to them and say it 15 times for them to do it. It gets irritating. Sometimes you want to spank them because, you know, of the disobedience. But in reality, what gets you irritated is that you cannot make them do it. You cannot make a person, another human being, do anything that they do not want to do. You can spank them. You can lock them up in jail. You can do whatever you want to do. If they decide they don't want to do it, you cannot make them do it. They can sit in that jail. If you tell a man, I need you to do something, or a woman, I need you to do something, and they say no, and the Lord says, okay, well, we're going to lock you up. And they said, okay, lock me up. Eternity, but I will not do it. And you can't make them do it, because we don't have power and authority over other human beings. So how do we get obedience? to get obedience out of love. In order for you to obey God, you got to respect him and you got to love him. And a lot of times they use the word fear. You want to fear God. God. And I used to think, why would I want to fear God? I'm not supposed to be afraid of God. But it's not that kind of a fear. It's not the fear of anxiety. It's the fear of respect and obedience. Because I respect you and because I know the power and authority that you have, I fear not to do. Okay, we can go to God and say, you know what? I messed up. I repent. Please forgive me. And it's done. He's not going to hold you hostage. Because, see, that's what Jesus did. Jesus covered your sins. All you're doing is just saying, you know what? Okay, I messed up. Oh, my gosh. I apologize, Father. My thing is, can we just start all over again? I'm always, you know, I'm like David. I'm running quickly. David ran quickly. David, he said, David was a man after his own heart. Done wrong. And the only person that can get this, I can get this straight with is that I'm going to God. David didn't even have Jesus in between. We have Jesus. John 14:31 says, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. That I love the Father. That's Jesus saying that. I do as the Father commands me. Now, just imagine if Jesus decided he didn't want to listen to the Father. He just wanted to do what he wanted to do. Then you think that we would have salvation? We would have to, he would have to bring somebody else? He would have to have someone else that would come in and be willing to do what he asked him to do when he asked him to do it, and be willing to go where he tell him to go. He gave him a body. He gave him a mind, just like he gave you and I. He gave him the will, just like he gave you and I. And it's amazing. God could have just made us so that we operate completely at his request and his demand without even having the mind or will to think anything other than that, and that would have been a robot. You would have been able to, he could just mash a button or say something and you move, turn, twist, you know. But I don't want that. I want a people that choose me. I want a people that want me to be their God. I want a people that yay or nay, and I'm still going to love them. Whether they obey me or not, I'm still going to love them because I made them out of the love of my heart. I made them with love. So God is always going to love you, mothers and daughters. There's no way that you can be out of the love of God. But just like any parent here on this earth, when we have our children, we want them to listen to us. We want them to do as we instruct them to do. Some kind of way. You're like, well, did that child understand what I was saying? And so you try to explain it several different ways. But when they're little, what you're doing, you're building a rapport. You're building an amount of respect and adding love to it that you all can agree. And that you all can trust each other enough to believe. That's my mother. And I have respect for my mother because what I've noticed all during my life, I can trust her. See, it's about trust. You got to be able to trust somebody in order to believe in them. And that's why Mark 11:22 say, have faith in God. That's what Jesus said. Have faith in God. But to have faith in God, you got to be able to trust God. How are you going to trust God? You got to know what he said. And then you got to look at the demonstrations and see the manifestations of the word. And that builds faith. And when you get your faith built up, you know that you know that you can trust God because you've seen this work. Look back over your life. You don't have to look at a story and say, you know what? Oh, wow, I saw God's hand move. You don't have to look at the stories in the Bible and say, you know, I saw him raise Lazarus from the dead, and I know he can do that. And I saw him raise a little girl up from the bed and told her to wake up, and she was just asleep. And I saw him make the blind see and the lame walk and the lepers cleansed. And, you know, I saw the demons coming out of the young man that was demon-possessed. And I saw him stand on a hill and speak, and everyone, thousands and thousands and thousands, multitudes, was healed all at one time. He didn't have to touch them. All he stood and say was a word, and the word spread, and the multitudes, thousands, spread out over the hillside, all healed. So, you don't have to look at all of that to believe. He said, look at the works. Look at the works in your own life. Because if you've lived at any length of time, you see God in your own life. How many times you have pain in your body and you call out and say, Lord, have mercy, and the pain leaves. How many times you've broken an arm or leg or and it healed itself back? How many times you cut yourself and you look and you see the skin coming back together? How many times have you walked and hit your toe on the side of the bed and you're thinking, oh, my God, that's the worst pain, or hit your elbow and you just, the first thing you'd be like, oh, God. So you don't realize you're calling on him. And you're calling on him at a place of faith. And that's why it stopped. The pain stopped. Because in that, you don't think about it. You don't have time to think about it. It's when you think about it, it's when you get confused, because the enemy wants you to think about it so he can talk to you. But in the midst of hitting that elbow and that pain comes, you say, oh, God. You say, what's wrong? Oh, God. He steps in. Because you called on him, because you believed in him. He's already in us. Call on him, he answers immediately. The problems that we have is when we're trying to think something through, when we're trying to spend days and nights trying to talk to God and tell him how we want it done, and when are you going to do it, Lord? I've been waiting on you, and I don't see where you're coming, and You know, what's going on? So then you try something. You call somebody. You get their opinion. Instead of just saying, you know what, God, I believe you. You got it. And I'm going to rest in that. You know, in Acts 5:29, but Peter, I'm telling you, this but stands out. It's just, I never really noticed it as much until I got my word. It says, but Peter. And the apostles answered to God. They're talking to Jesus. Says, we must obey God rather than man. See? From instructions. There's nothing hard about that. But Peter and the apostles answered. I'm sorry, they were talking to the people. We must obey God rather than man. And Holy Spirit is telling me this is during the time when they were getting themselves together. And it's like, we can't worry about what man thinks. We have to do what God told us to do. Jesus gave us the instructions. We're them apostles. Jesus told us what God said. Now, God has sent the Holy Ghost Spirit, and we have the Holy Ghost. He led by that Spirit. And what does the Holy Ghost Spirit say? So when you're saved and you receive the Holy Ghost, then All you got to do is ask. His job is to comfort you, to keep you, and to remind you of what Jesus told us. Just to do in this case, what did Jesus say about this? What does the Father want me to do? Anything in that arena. And then just be still. And then you're going to get an answer. The obedience come in. It's when you get the answer that you do accordingly. You become doers of the word, not hearers only. You can hear the word. You say, oh, I got the word and I heard it. But it doesn't mean anything if you don't do the word. It's all in the doing. That's the obedience part. To be obedient is to take action. To be obedient is to do something. It's to follow instructions. Then you're going to get exactly what God said, what his word said. There's no way you can miss it because he's not a man that can lie. And he said, my word will not return to me void. So the word is in the Bible. Jesus spoke the word. Go in the Bible and look at all the red words. I tell people often, go to Google and just print red words of Jesus, and you'll get every red word that he said. And just read them. Those are the words that he left us that God told him to tell us. Now, you're going to have to believe that Jesus is who he said he was. Oh, yes. You're going to have to believe that he said exactly what God said. You're going to have to believe that God told him. You have to believe that he said it, and he told us correctly. And you have to believe those words are for you. See, that's where your faith comes in. Some people say, well, how can I have faith, Dr. Fletcher? How do I know when I have faith? You have faith because God gave it to you. He said, I gave every man a measure of faith. And every man has the same measure of faith. Nobody has more faith than you. It's how you implement and use your faith. And in order to use your faith, faith comes by hearing the word of God. You got to hear the word of God. You got to read it. You got to think about it. You got to talk to him about it. And the more you do that, the more it rises up in your heart and you start feeling it. And the more you're feeling it, then you say, wow, you'll start believing it. You'll start believing it. That you're getting more faith, you're using more of the faith that you have. Let's just say if you had 100 points of faith, but you're only using 2% or 2 points of it, you know. You got 98 points of faith left that's unused. And you're trying to live on 2%, things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. So if you need the substance of things that you are hoping for to come into your reality so that you can see it, you're going to have to keep hearing the word of God. You're going to have to keep hearing the word of God. Keep hearing the word of God. Now all of a sudden you like 10 points. All right, you're getting there. You keep reading the word of God. And you keep talking to God. And you say, God, I believe that this is going to happen. I'm going to stand on your word because I know your word is true. It will not return to you void. Heaven and earth have passed away, you said, before it does. So we know heaven and earth is not going to pass away because of Bessie. Not believe it. Because your word is your word. It's going to be true whether I believe it or not. So now you're up to 25%. Still got 75%. You see how much faith you've gotten? You just keep doing it, and all of a sudden you get to 50%. And you're like, you know what? I believe. But you want to get past 50%. You want to get on up there to 60%. See, how do you get your faith increased in your heart to use what you have is by hearing the word of God. The more you hear, the more you believe, the more you receive. It's just that simple. But you got to start off with obedience. obedience is the key. If you're not going to do what he said, then you probably down 1% in your faith because you got to believe what he said in order to use your faith. Your faith works according to your belief. Saying all of that to say this, if you're disobedient, then you are working against God. Let's just make it very clear and plain. If you're disobedient to the word of God, you are working against God. You're working with the enemy. And I always say, why would anyone want to help Satan fight God? When you're going to tell God, I don't care what you say, I'm not doing that. That's not what I want to do. Someone who made you, someone who owns you, someone who created you, you got the nerve to tell God that you ain't going to do what he told you to do. Who are you? You can't even fix yourself. Who are you? Then come on your body, and God just says, okay, you go ahead. I'm going to let you run on up the road, and I'll be here waiting on you. And you're like the prodigal son. You come running back. He'll take you. But that doesn't mean you're not going to suffer the consequences because you went outside. You went outside the kingdom realm of protection. And he'll help you. But you may be scarred. You may have had more punishment than you should have gotten had you stayed within obedience and received grace and mercy. Okay, Cynthia?
Yes, ma'am. You know, that's that's the balance right there, Dr. Fletcher, your last statement. We have to teach our children, yes, God will protect you, but when you determine to do it your way and not follow the rules, if you will, or the principles that you've been taught, that, yeah, God will protect you, but he will also allow those consequences to come on you should you become unruly and you are determined to do it your way. That's why our parents spanked us when we got hurt. And I know that was my grandmother's thing, man. If she told you not to do something and you went and did it and you got injured, you still got that whooping even in that time of pain of being hurt. Because I told you not to go. And that's the same thing with scripture. God, when God tells us to be in obedience, he has not spelled out what you shouldn't do, but it is in the word. Well, and that's why you got to know the word for yourself, mother, so you can teach your children what God said not to do. And so if they're determined to do what it is that they want to do, defeat that flesh, there's going to be some consequences along the way. Yes, we teach them God will protect you if you accept Christ, but God will also allow those consequences to come on you when you are constantly doing what he told you not to do. Sodom and Gomorrah is a prime example of that. He told them not. He said, if I can find 50, then he couldn't find 50 people that was in obedience. Abraham begged God not to allow the consequences to come on these people. And he kept saying, well, if I find 40, if I find 30, if I find 20, if I find 10, he couldn't even find 10. And therefore, the consequences came on the whole city. And so when we are in charge of children and we teach them one part of the Bible but don't teach them the other part of the Bible, they go out there thinking they can do anything all willy-nilly and nothing is going to happen to them because they have the protection of God. Now, it don't work that way, mothers. You got to teach your children the whole thing. As they teach them to reverence God. That's that fear. That's a healthy type of fear. Then you got to teach them to follow the word of God so they don't have all the consequences of the world, because it's some consequences out there that will eventually bring you home, whether it's physically home here on earth or it will take you on to heaven where your suffering is finally over and then you got to face the judgment. So it may or may not be over. So, you know, we have to, it is so paramount, moms, mothers, that we teach our children the word of God. So as they're aging past 12 and up, they make a decision because it is now their decision if they're going to be obedient or not. I remember when I was about 13 years old, Dr. Fletcher, I didn't like spankings, it was whippings back then. Let's just call it what it was. I just determined that I was going to be the best child that I can be because I did not like those consequences. I did not like my grandmother whipping me. And I would see my cousins and my sister get spanked every time they went out because they were going to do what they're going to do, but they had to face their consequences when they got back. And that just wasn't who I wanted to be. And but of course we all have the flesh. And as I got older, I was rebellious for a long time in my adult life. But then I had to get back to wanting to follow instructions in order to follow instructions. That comes with a desire to be the best that you can be. And I can't imagine anybody not wanting to be the best that they can be. But whatever you feed, that's what grows. If you feed disobedience, that's what grows. If you feed obedience, then you become obedient to the point that you don't even want to do anything against God's word. And we have a great responsibility, mothers, to be an example, to be who it is that we say we are in following God instructions. And then we have to also teach our children, our daughters, what God said so they can make an informed decision for themselves as they get older. Yes, we stray. But when we are determined to be what God tells us to be, we'll come back. Because he said, even as if you have taught them, even if they stray, they will come back. Thank you for allowing me to share. Are you there, Dr. B?
Yes, I am. I said, yes, they will come back. That's the key right there. That's why I say when they're little, when you have more opportunity to plant those seeds, when they're little, but start when they're in your womb, you know, just start talking. And when they're little in your arms, you're talking, you're planting seeds. Because if you don't plant them, somebody else will. And once they get to school, I'm telling you, I'm talking about just daycare, really. Anytime they got to interact with other children, you can see a change. Conversation, you can see a change in the attitude, because then now they're picking up stuff from other people. And then now you got to work with that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And now you got to kill those weeds to keep them from actually destroying all the flowers that you planted. So that's why I said you got to start early, because now you're in competition with man. You're in competition with their little friends, and you're in competition with their parents and their lifestyles. And, you know, they do it this way, or her parents let them do it this way, and why can't I do it this way? You know, you're a mean mommy because you won't let me do it this way. Not knowing all the things that's going on in the family, just seeing what they think is the best thing for them. Well, if she can get by with it and she can go and stay out with her friends till 11, 12 o'clock at night, why can't I do it? Why do you want to be mean? But see, my mother was the type of mother, and I have to give it to her. Anybody else raising their children when it came to me, I don't raise them. That was her thing. I raise you. You're my responsibility. And if I tell you no, that's it. I'm not going to change what I think is best for you because you think because Mary Sue is doing it, you should be able to do it. We run this household. And I'm telling you, that's the one thing that my mother didn't deviate from. I have to give that to her. Did I like it? No. Time, I used to think, and I loved her. I never thought that I hated her. I never had those kind of feelings toward her. But I just thought she was so unreasonable because I thought I was always making a reasonable request. And I think she was sometimes to the extreme. But in her heart, she had a reason for it. And now I look back over it, and I'm grateful for it. You understand? Because my mother would say things like, she wouldn't always put to say no. She said, let mother think about it. Well, then I said, well, okay. And I'm thinking, why is she thinking? So I'm thinking a day done gone by, and she hasn't said anything. And say, for instance, I'm asking to go to the game on Friday night. I'm an only child, so I don't have anybody to hang, but I don't have any brothers and sisters. I got to go with someone like a cousin or someone like that or, you know, because we were all raised right there together, just nothing but cousins. And so I wasn't thinking that in her mind she was trying to figure out who I'm going to ask to look after her when she goes. See, I'm thinking she should have just given me a yes or no or whatever, wanted a yes. But in her mind, she was trying to see which cousin was going to the game that she could trust to look after me. You see, mothers, daughters, mothers have to go beyond what you see to make sure they do the best that they can do. And you don't always see it, see what she was doing. And sometimes it'll be like I'd ask her on Monday. And sometimes, and it would be like Thursday, and she'll say, yes, you can go. Gladys and Diane, they're going. So Diane says she'll look after you. Gladys and I was the same age as cousins. And Diane said she would look after you. Well, now she felt comfortable to tell me because, see, she didn't want to tell me yes and then say no. Now, I give her credit for that because if she ever said no, I don't know if I remember my mother changing her mind too much. She would borderline that, let me see, maybe. When she said maybe, that means she's on the fence. So it could go either way, you know. So that maybe would hold me because I'd rather have maybe than no. Because if she said no, she said, if I tell you no and I turn around and say yes, then I have lied.
You know, Dr. Fletcher, that's the same thing with the word. The word is already written. God ain't changing not one word in that Bible. It's already written. And it's already written that we are to be obedient. So that ain't going to change.
Nothing is changing. And you know what? And you notice that's who I am? And I know you know it because you used to say to me, well, Dr. Fletcher, you just said no. No, I didn't just say no. Because while you're talking, I'm talking to the Holy Spirit. When people ask me stuff, and they'll say, well, you know, I want you to ask you this, that, and that. Well, the first thing I'm going to say, Holy Spirit, tell me what you want me to do. And as someone talking to me, I don't ask the Holy Spirit to tell me. All I got to do is say, Holy Spirit, tell me what you want me to do. And if he says no, then it's no. And I don't change from that. So I got those kind of skills and those kind of things from my mother, and I passed them on to my daughter. I don't, you know, when I tell her something, and that's why we had the relationship that we have, is because she's always known if I told her I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. And I do that with anybody in my life. If I tell you I'm going to do it, depend on that. I'm going to do it. And it would have to be something terrible for me not to do it. And if it is, I'm going to tell you in plenty enough time why I can't do it or something came up or whatever. But I will never just not do it, you know. And you and I have been working together for all these years. And that's the one thing I think that made us a good team. It's because you have the same principles that I have. If you tell me, Dr. Fletcher, I'm going to do something, I don't even worry about it because I know you're going to do it. You've never told me I'm going to do something, Dr. Fletcher, and don't do it. And I remember telling you, I'm going to do it and don't do it. And so that made us, that gave me faith in you. And you know, when I met you, I told you, I said, I had trust issues because people would tell you things and then you depend on them and they don't do it. And I was just leery. But when you came in, it was just like boom, boom, boom. I'll never forget. The first time I just said, you know what, I'm just going to trust her. You told me, you said, you just need to trust me. And we were doing an event. And I said, okay, because usually my hand, I feel like my hand has to be on everything because I want the right look, the right quality. You know, I want people to be treated nicely when they come to our events. And, you know, it's like coming to my home. That's my attitude about it. And when I came in, I deliberately came in late because I said, I'm just going to let her have it. And that table and that food and that design was so elegantly done. And the room was just, I mean, it was as if I was there, I knew then. Wow. And from then on, I've never said anything else to you about how to fix anything. And you've always been that person that your word has been your bond. And that's what we have to have when we grow in communities, and that's what we have to have when we have friendships. People don't realize it's not so much about mothers and daughters per se, their relationship. It's about when you, your daughter, go out and form relationships with other people in communities. What principles are she taking? What word of God is she taking? What is her life based on? Because you look at...
You know, I like to tell... I'm sorry. Go ahead. I apologize.
No, no, no. I was just saying, you look at your children. You have the two boys that you birthed. You look at them, and you see those are strong men. They are men of their word. They, you know, I know them. I don't know them like you know them, but what I know of them, they're very principled people. And they got that from you guys because what you say and what you do, and even though no matter how it took to get where you are, you look back at it and you say, wow, look at this. This is a strong palm tree because a palm tree will bend and will never break. I don't care how strong the wind is.
Amen. Amen.
Because
and I raised my children exactly the way you raised Angie. When I said no and I told them, I said, you want your mom and dad to be happy? When I tell you no, don't go to your father because I've already told you no and vice versa. And when we don't mm-hmm. raise children that way, and if, if your mind is made up, your mind is made up, and you teach young people to have a made up mind, and then they don't never have to ponder. They never have to blunder when they have a made up mind to be obedient.
And see that, when you start talking about that, I can tell you something about that, because see, I did that with my parents. I would play that game until one day my mother told my dad, you know what, we're going to have to stop this. I tell her no, she goes to you, you come back and plead the case. And my mother said, this is going to stop. And when they got together and stopped, I thought, oh, my God, my world had crushed because I had no hole to run into because daddy had them join forces with her. And I felt like I was left on the outside. But I'm glad they did that because it would have probably led to divorce and all kinds of stuff because children can do that. Cynthia, this conversation is going so well. I wasn't looking at the first four. We are so over time.
Amen.
But God be the glory. All right. Mothers and daughters, you got it. Mothers and daughters, obedience is the key. Look at the Word of God. Go get the Bible. You got Google. You got your phone. Stop looking at all these social medias and pull up the Word of God. Just ask the question, and it'll pop up and give you the answer. So there's no excuse.
Because it's
not
already
to know
written.
The Word of God. It's already written. All
Amen.
You got to do is read it and be obedient. I'll be right back, Cynthia.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
All right, mothers and daughters, that's our show. Great show, Cynthia. Obedience is the key. So that's the word for this
yes,
week,
ma'am.
Obedience. All right. Love you.
Amen. Goodbye, audience. Goodbye, Dr. Fletcher.
Bye,
love
audience.
You guys.
All right. Love you, too. Bye-bye.
We miss you. We miss you, Deborah. Bye.
Yeah. She'll be with us next week, audience.